Okay, let's see. We will chant Sarvarana Sri Gaura Pada Padme Pratana. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's called Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu. Okay, and one and two. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Daya Kara Mohi, Toma Bina Kerayalo, Jagat Samsare. Thank you. Hati Rama, Hati Rama, Rama Rama, Hati Hati. Hare Krishna, Krishna. Jai Om Vishnupad. Paramahansa
Parvatacharya Asatela Siddhashi Shimad.
His Divine Grace Abhayachanana Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anandakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Huidas Thakur Ki Jai. Param se kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidvaita Gadadha Sri Prasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gajai Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopikabhanath Sayam Mukunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Gajai Vrindhavadam Gajai Maturidam Gajai Jagadathasami Gajai Yamunamai Gajai Srimati Lassi Devi Gajai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindigajai Gaur Prabhananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaur Prabhananda Hari Hari Bol. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nivashesha Sunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarani. So good to see everybody. All you Prabhus, Pravis, and whatever else is you are, demons, demonies. It's good to see everybody. So anyway, so we'll continue with our reading of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Om Ganatam Adandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshuram Riditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So we are reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Charitamrita Majjalila, Chapter 1. And we're continuing with our study. This is a summary of the later pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, chapter one, and then we get into some more detail as we get through the different chapters in the Madhyalila and eventually the Anchalila. This is very exciting. Actually, Chaitanya Charitamrita gives us so much life. It's quite amazing. Actually, I was thinking something very interesting today. Maybe I should share with all of you. That I was having a discussion today with Rina Nandamarsh about the people who left Prabhupada's association. And we don't have any animosity towards anyone. But we went through their different websites, and it was apparent that when you cut yourself off from Prabhupada, and that means Prabhupada's service, association, devotees, it's like you cut yourself off from the powerhouse. It was very interesting, because we were looking at different godbrothers. We were, you know, who had left Prabhupada's association and were doing their own thing. As I said, during the 1960s, do your own thing. So we saw that actually it was like the plug was pulled on the fan. You understand? I don't think you all understand that particular analogy. You're pulling the plug on the fan keeps moving, but it slows down. And that's not to cast aspersion on anyone's spiritual life. But the ability to bring others to Krishna consciousness actually becomes minimized like that. And you see that those who remained in Prabhupada society, even though they may not have been the greatest, most intelligent, strongest persons, they actually flourished. It's really interesting. Really, really interesting. So it's really interesting to see that, you know, just objectively, objective standards. Website, I guess, is objective. So if we stay connected, the moral of the story is, of course, we always have morals of our stories. The moral of our story is that if we stay connected to Srila Prabhupada, then we know we're all right. We have this bhakti shakti. And if we think we do, we can, like Prabhupada said, if one thinks that he can be Krishna conscious outside of the society of devotees or outside of his association, and this is not to cast aspersion upon those who never had Prabhupada's association, who associated with other devotees, this is not that. But one who actually tries to become independent from Srila Prabhupada loses the energy. And even though externally it may seem, well, person's pretty energetic, still internally, or, you know, as far as spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. Just like Prabhupada's spreading of the Krishna consciousness movement, and we all know the Prabhupada did spread the Krishna consciousness movement, the let me just make sure the volume is all right on this thing. I'm going to turn up my volume. Or maybe I'm trying to speak too loudly. That's my problem. So just like Prabhupada's spreading of the Krishna consciousness movement, the empowerment was coming from Guru. Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai Bhakti Lata Beach. So if one thinks they connect directly with Krishna, you know, I can just pick and choose whatever source of energy I want from, you know, this person or that person, then you just sort of lose it. It's called Maryada Vyatikrama. It's a violation of etiquette, and that's talked about in the Bhagavatam about Maryada Vyatikrama, and if you don't know what it is, look it up. It means violation of etiquette, basically. So, yes, very interesting understanding. And people think they can be independent from Prabhupada. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. You know, you become a guru. You know, one thinks that they are guru independent of their spiritual master, then they are go-ru. So it's very, very interesting going through the internet like that, looking. And not to criticize anyone, find fault, not to gloat. That's really not the point. But the point is for our own self, not to point the finger at others. That's why I'm not bringing out specific names. But for our own self, our loyalty to His divine grace, to the Prabhupada, should be unbreakable. Unbreakable. Like the lines on a stone. Of course, that was the description given concerning the sadhana of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. You cannot break it. That determination. So it's really important. Guru Nishta, it's called. So Nishta means steadiness. It's not simply, I believe. Like Prabhupada would criticize Christians who would say that you have to believe in Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. That's a bunch of nonsense. And I've oftentimes given the example, this is my example, that the criminal believes in the government, it doesn't make him or her an honest person. They're still criminals. And actually a good criminal, I mean not good, no such thing as a good criminal, but let's say a criminal who is able to do his criminal activities efficiently, I'm not going to say nicely, and get away with it, has to believe in the government. Because how else would you get away with your criminal activities unless you were aware of what the government was doing? Prangovinda is giving me the verse right now. This is actually interesting. Nice verse. This is actually the verse from the Bhagavatam. This is actually Prabhupada's purport. Although one may be well versed in the transcendental science, one should be careful about the offense of Maryada Vyatikrama. Pertinently surpassing a greater personality. According to the scriptural injunction, one should be very careful of transgressing the law of Maryada Vyatikrama, because by doing so one loses duration of life, knowledge, and then it talks about Vidura and Uddhava. That's a different thing. So anyway, because it's in the context of the discussion between Vidura, Uddhava, and Maitreya in the Bhagavatam. Very, very important point. Very, very important point. Prabhupada says one of the things to be a Krishna conscious outside of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness is living an hallucination. What is an hallucination? That means you see something that's not there, or you don't see something that is there. Or you see something that is there, but you don't see it as it is. For example, you see a rope and you think it's a snake, or you see a snake and you think it's a rope. These are different types of hallucinations. So we don't want to be subject to hallucinations. We want to be subject to Krishna Shakti, Kali Kalera Dharma, Krishna Nama Sankirtana, Krishna Shakti Vinana Hei, Tari Bravartana. That's a verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Kali Kalera Dharma, in this age of Kali, the Dharma is Krishna Nama Sankirtana. But one cannot spread this Dharma unless they have what? Krishna Shakti Manahi. Without it, one cannot spread Krishna consciousness in any effective way. Because spreading Krishna consciousness doesn't simply mean getting people to chant the holy names. It means, basically, getting people to love Krishna, to implant the bhakti lata bij in people's hearts, this seed of the creeper of devotion. Okay, on that happy note, sorry about this little monologue. It's interesting, when you have these TV shows, the host always has a monologue before he gets into a show and then talks about his guests. So my guest tonight is the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we're going to be hearing from the Chaitanya Charitamrita about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. You can ask your question later on, Pran Govinda. So now we're going to read. Okay. Nityananda Prabhu Mahaprabhu Vulaiha Ganga Tire Lana Hela Yamuna Baliha. First of all, Lord Nityananda bewildered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by bringing him along the banks of the Ganges, saying that it was the river Jamuna or Yamuna. This is, all right, let me give this scenario. This is actually when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first took sannyas. When he first took sannyas, he was wanting to go, as we read in the previous verses. Yeah, we're on the right verse. As we read in the previous verse, he wanted to go immediately to Vrindavan. But Lord Nityananda sort of like deviated him and brought him along the banks of the Ganges, saying it was the river Jamuna. And it wasn't untrue, because at the Triveni, which is further upstream, the three rivers, Yamuna, Ganges, and Sarasati, merged. And so on that side of the Ganges, and actually they all mixed together, so actually it was the Yamuna too. So Lord Nityananda wasn't lying, but he wanted to bring Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Shantipur, as we'll read here. Shantipure acharyera grehe agamada ratama bhikshahaila tahandatre sankirtana. After 3 days, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the house of Advaitacharya at Shantipur and accepted alms there. This was his first acceptance of alms. Alms, if you don't know what it is, that means charity. Okay. At night, he performed congregational chanting there. It appears that in his transcendental ecstasy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forgot to eat for 3 continuous days. He was then misled by Nityananda Prabhu, who said that the river Ganges was the Yamuna. Because the Lord was in the ecstasy of going to Vrindavana, he was enlightened to see the Yamuna, although in actuality the river was the Ganges. In this way, the Lord was brought to the house of Advaita Prabhu at Shantipura after 3 days, and he accepted food there. As long as the Lord remained there, he saw his mother, Sachi Devi, and every night executed congregational chanting with all the devotees. In other words, Lord Nityananda tricked Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw what he thought was the Yamuna, he jumped in. And then he saw Advaita Acharya waiting on the other bank with a new set of clothes. And he was thinking, how did Advaita Acharya get to Vrindavan? Then he realized he was tricked. And Advaita Acharya also said at that point, wherever you are, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is Vrindavan. And actually that applies to all great devotees of the Lord. To all Brajabasis, wherever they are, they carry Vrindavan with them. When I first met Prabhupada, I entered into Vrindavan, even though I had never been to India before. Just by being in Prabhupada's presence, I was in Vrindavan. So there's no need of traveling. It's just shushu, shro, shradana, shavasadeva, katavruchi. You hear from Prabhupada and you go to Vrindavan. Mata bhakta ganeratahan karila milana sarvasamadana kari kaila nidadrigamana. At the house of Advaita Prabhu, he met his mother as well as the devotees from Mayapur. He adjusted everything and then went to Jagannath Puri. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew very well that his acceptance of sannyas was a thunderbolt for his mother. He therefore called for his mother and the devotees from Mayapur, and by the arrangement of Sri Advaitacharya, he met them for the last time after his acceptance of sannyas. His mother was overwhelmed with grief when she saw that he was clean-shaven. There was no longer any beautiful hair on his head. Mother Sachi was pacified by all the devotees, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked her to cook for him because he was very hungry, not having taken anything for 3 days. His mother immediately agreed, and forget everything else, she cooked for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during all the days she was at the house of Sri Advaita Prabhu. Then, after a few days, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested his mother's permission to go to Jagannath Puri. At his mother's request, he made Jagannath Puri his headquarters after his acceptance of sannyas. Thus, everything was adjusted, and with his mother's permission, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proceeded toward Jagannath Puri. Now, several things. When one takes sannyas, one is not supposed to go back to where they grew up. It is not permitted. Because naturally, one's upadis will manifest themselves. You know, upadis means designations or memories. Oh, here I had my party. Oh, here I got, you know, for the Western world, the Westerners, not about me, I didn't get drunk. But, you know, here you're thinking, oh, here I got drunk. Oh, here I had this friend or that friend, and we did this and that. And so many memories will come up, so a sannyasi doesn't go back to where he was born, except for, you know, a brief visit, like Prabhupada went back to Calcutta where he was raised, but just for a very brief visit, not to stay there. So anyway, so that's very important. Another point is that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was considered a devotee of his mother. So his mother actually chose Jagannath Puri, although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to be in Jagannath Puri, because in Jagannath Puri, there's a constant flow of people from Bengal, you know, from Mayapur, Navadweep, back and forth, because it's a pilgrimage place. So in this way, she would always get word of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Another point is that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mother, Sachi Mata, she saw Lord Chaitanya, and that's all right for the mother to meet again with the son even after he takes sannyas, but not for the wife. It's not all right. And so Vishnupriya, the wife of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was feeling great separation and crying, and basically for every mantra she chanted, she took a grain of rice and cooked it, and that was her food. At the end of the day, she was undergoing great austerities and worshipping the deity of Lord Chaitanya. It appears very cruel. Like it appears that Lord Ram was very cruel in sending Sita Devi away, or it appears that Krishna was very cruel in leaving Vrindavan at 16 years of age, when the gopis were that age or younger. But this mood of worship of the Lord, and I mentioned it before, in separation called Vipralamba, is a very intense mood, and it's connection. I've talked about this many, many times before. It's not cruel. If you do that in this world to your beloved, that is extremely cruel, extremely cruel. But when Krishna does it with us, his beloveds, it is not cruel, because we are connected with him. When we chant Hare Krishna, we are with Krishna. The more emotions you feel for Krishna, the more connected, the more intense the emotions come. The more you cry for Krishna, the more connected you are with Krishna, even though it's not manifest before your eyes. You're still with Krishna. Remember that. That's a very important point. To cry for Krishna when you're chanting. You cry. It's emotion. You chant with your heart. Okay. Let's go on. Pate nana lila rasa deva darashana madhava puri urakata gopala stapana. On the way toward Jagannath Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed many other pastimes. He visited various temples and heard the story about Madhavendra Puri and the installation of Gopala. This Madhava Puri is Madhavendra Puri. Another Madhava Puri is Madhvacharya, who was the spiritual master of a devotee in the line of Gadadhar Pandit, and who wrote a book known as Sri Mangala Bhasha. Madhvacharya, however, is different from Madhavendra Puri, who is mentioned in this verse. And we told the story of Shirachura Gopinath, and we're coming upon that story again. Shirachura Kata Sakshi Gopala Vivarana Nityananda Kaila Prabhu Radanda Banjana. From Nityananda Prabhu, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the story of Shirachura Gopinath and of the witness Gopal. Then Nityananda Prabhu broke the sannyas rod belonging to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Purport, this Shirachura Gopinath is situated in Rimuna, about 5 miles away from the Balasura Balasore station on the Northeastern Railway, formerly known as the Bengal Mayapur Railway. The station is situated a few miles from the famous Kharagpur Junction station. Some time ago, the head of the temple was Shyamasundara Adhikara from Gopi Balabhapura, which lies on the border of the district of Vindhapur. Shyamasundara Adhikari was a descendant of Rishikananda Murari, the chief disciple of Shyamananda Goswami. A few miles before the Jagannath Puri station is a small station called Sakshi Gopal. Near the station is a village named Satyavati Vadi, where the temple of Sakshi Gopal is situated. I guess I should tell that story. Many times in this class we've told the story of Shirachura Gopinath, and that's the deity who stole the sweet rice from Madhavendra Puri. I'm not going to go through that story, but we've told it before in this series of classes. But I'll tell the story of Sakshi Gopal, which is a very interesting story. Once upon a time, there were two Brahmins. There was an older Brahmin, quite old, and a younger Brahmin. And they were on pilgrimage. And they were in pilgrimage in Vrindavan. Okay. So the younger Brahmin, having proper etiquette, which means you serve the people who are older than you, took care of the older Brahmin. Isn't that natural? Yes, it is. Not in America, it's not natural. In America, we just warehouse the old people. You know, just glad to get rid of them. And yes, we want to enjoy our lives as young people. But anyway, he was taking care of this old Brahmin. And one thing we should understand is that the old Brahmin was from a higher Brahmin class. Because even when you're talking about Varnashram, which is very ritualistic, there are different divisions within each and every varna. Wow, pretty good. Even within the ashrams, there's different divisions, different lower class sannyasis, higher class sannyasis. That's brought out in the Chaitanya Charitamrita too. So anyway, so the younger Brahmin was from a lower caste Brahmin caste. Lower division of Brahmin caste. And the elder Brahmin was from a higher Brahmin caste. Okay. So, but still, you know, young Brahmin was very happy to serve the older Brahmin. They were both Brahmins, you know, Hare Krishna. And neither of them had caste distinction. Okay. So, towards the end of the pilgrimage, the older Brahmin has said to the younger Brahmin, I am so pleased with you. I'm going to give you a benediction. And so, what happened is the older Brahmin said, actually, the best thing I can do for you is to offer my beautiful young daughter in marriage to you. And the younger Brahmin, you know, he wasn't ready to take sannyas, obviously. If he was ready to take sannyas, he would have said, thanks, but no thanks. But he did say something to the older Brahmin. He said, I'm a lower caste Brahmin, and you're a higher caste Brahmin. Your family will never accept this. And the older Brahmin said, I'm in charge of my family. They will listen to me. And the younger Brahmin said, I don't think so, because he understood about the caste discrimination that was there in India. And it's still there in India, even to this day. I remember once upon a time, many years ago, I was talking about arranging a marriage for one of my six-year disciples in a different country. I'm not going to mention his name. It's not very important. And he said, it's very difficult. We have to look for someone of the same caste and the same subcaste. And there's thousands of subcastes. And I said, forget it. Because Chanaka Pandit says that one should accept a wife from any caste if she's qualified. But anyway, people have this discrimination. So, getting back to the story. So, the younger Brahmin said, well, why don't you make this promise in front of the deity Gopal? Okay. So they both go in front of the deity Gopal. And the older Brahmin says, I promise to give my daughter to this younger Brahmin. And the younger Brahmin says to the deity, you heard the promise. You're the witness. Okay. So then they trek all the way back across India. All the way back across the Bengal. And, whew, long trek. And so the older Brahmin is thinking, oh my God, the younger Brahmin is going to come and claim his benediction. And he does. He comes one day. Not that he's interested so much in a beautiful young girl, but he's interested in keeping the religious principles of the older Brahmin. Because he wants to make sure that the older Brahmin didn't tell a lie. Because if someone tells a lie in front of the deity, it's very serious. If someone commits a crime, usually what they used to do is put them in front of the deities to get them to confess. They didn't beat them. They put them in front of Krishna. And everyone was afraid of saying a lie in front of Krishna. Okay. So, what happened is the younger Brahmin comes and says, basically, the promise. And the older Brahmin said, yes, I made this promise. And he tells his family about it. And the family says, you know, we're not going to accept this. If you do such a thing like that, we will all take poison and die. That is called a traditional guilt trip. We will all take poison and die. So, the younger Brahmin, the older Brahmin was caught on the horns of a dilemma. You know, dilemma means avoidance, or avoidance, choice, or whatever, you know. Whatever, you know, that means two different things, and you can't make up your mind which one to choose. Because if he actually gave his daughter away, he was thinking his family would commit suicide. And if he didn't do it, he'd be breaking his promise to the younger Brahmin and actually committing a sinful activity because he promised in front of the deity. So then his son, the older Brahmin's son, had an idea. Okay, I got an idea, Dad. Okay, Dad. You just tell the younger Brahmin when he comes next time that you don't remember. And I'll take care of the rest. So younger Brahmin says, you know, we got this promise here. And the older Brahmin says, I don't remember. And the guy's son says, yes, this younger Brahmin, he gave my father something called dutura, you know, poison or something like that, or some intoxicant or something. And he bewildered him and took his money. He would never promise like that. Maybe he was done under intoxication. Then the younger Brahmin remembered that the promise had been made in front of the deity. So he said to the older Brahmin's son and the rest of the family, if Krishna witnesses this promise, if the deity witnesses this promise, will you allow me to marry your daughter or sister, as the case may be? And so they said, yeah, sure. They were atheists because they were just ritualistic Brahmins. Ritualism is atheism in a disguise. So they were just ritualistic Brahmins. So they all said, yeah, no problem. So the young Brahmin treks all the way across India, back to Vrindavan, which is not a bad idea, where I'd like to be right now. So he treks all the way back to Vrindavan, and he goes in front of the deity, and he says to the deity, you witness this, so you have to come and witness it, in other words, testify in front of this family. And the deity says, basically, just remember me and everything will be all right. And the younger Brahmin says, that's not going to work. You know, in this way, he's having an argument with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, that's not going to work. You know, you have to show up yourself. You know, you have to come. And then the deity said, well, deity means Krishna. Krishna said, whoever heard of a deity walking? You know, heavy deity. It's a big deity. I've seen the deity. By trick. Anyway, I'll tell you a story about that in a second. So, big deity. And so, the deity is trying to argue with the Brahmin. Krishna's trying to argue with the Brahmin. He says, you know, who have heard of a deity walking? And the younger Brahmin, being very expert in logic, defeated Krishna. He said to Krishna, yes, we never heard of a deity walking before, but also, we never heard of a deity talking before. So if you can talk, you can also walk. So this way, Krishna said, okay, I surrender. So this young Brahmin obviously was a pure devotee. I mean, there's no doubt about it, because an ordinary devotee can't do this with the deity. But a pure devotee can defeat Krishna, controls Krishna. That is one of the symptoms mentioned by Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that pure devotional service is the only means of attracting Krishna or controlling Krishna. So the deity agrees. And the deity says, Krishna says, just I'll follow you. Don't look behind, because if you look behind, I'll remain wherever I am. And so the young Brahmin starts to walk all the way across India. Wow. He walks, 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 and he hears tingle, tingle the bells. You know, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch, Krishna's footballs. So Krishna is walking behind this young Brahmin all the way across to the other side of India. And so basically at a certain point, the young Brahmin doesn't hear the ankle bells, and he looks around, and this is right outside the village anyway, and there is Krishna just staying in one place. And Krishna says, bring everyone here. And then the deity testifies, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, so help you, you are God? Anyway, so he testifies and he says, yes, they made a promise, and the younger Brahmin marries the older Brahmana's daughter. And they live happily ever after. And that's the story of the Sakshi Gopal deity. Now, it's an interesting story in Prabhupada's pastimes about that. Prabhupada was talking about how people are very detached, you know, someone who is actually Krishna conscious, detached from household life or something like that. And this one godbrother of mine, I know his name, anyway, it's Panchadravida Swami. He said to Prabhupada, he said, if this young Brahmana was so advanced and pure in devotional service, why did he get married? You know, because the sannyasi sometimes they think, you know, someone's advanced and pure and everything like that, they don't get married. But actually, we see in our sampradaya that many advanced, pure devotees, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur and others, are married. And they have children, Srinivas Acharya. I mean, I can give so many examples like that. So there's married pure devotees, sannyasi pure devotees. The whole point is to give up all the results of your activities to Krishna, to love Krishna. It doesn't matter. Eva vipra kivanyasi, shuja kainanaya, Krishna tattva veda. Se guru hoya. If one understands the science, one understands Krishna, then he can be guru. So anyway, so Prabhupada was having this conversation, And what happened is that this sannyasi said what I said he said. And Prabhupada, in a very joking mood, said to the sannyasi, because the sannyasi said, if he was so pure, why did he want to get married? And Prabhupada said, because no one would have you, that's why you're speaking like that. So what does that mean, no one would have you? That means because no girl would marry you. And it was a joke, obviously. That's why you're speaking like that. And then everybody laughed and laughed and laughed at that point. So it was a very instructive, very, very instructive lesson by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, that anyone can be pure devotee. It's not a necessity to take sannyas. We can have a guru who's a woman, a man, a child, like the four Kumaras. You know, it's beyond the bodily platform. The first thing we learn when we join the Krishna consciousness is what? You're not the body. It's the first lesson. Right? Dehi no smin. Yata dehe komaram yavanyam jara. Tata dehanturas praptyod diras tatra namuyati. The embodied soul passes from boyhood or girlhood to youth to old age. And then when he gives up or she gives up the body, they take another body. And therefore, the self-realized soul, Krishna-conscious person, does not get disturbed by the change of bodies. Just like last night, someone showed me a picture of this body or me or whatever it was when I was younger. And they said, is that really you? Woo! And I said, that's the body. Just like I've had so many cars. Can you imagine if I had a picture of every car that I ever had? First car, what was the first car I had? It was an MG. That's a sports car. Second car was a Firebird. If you don't know what that is, it's a race car. Third car was I don't remember. Anyway, I went through so many cars. Eventually, years ago, I had a Peugeot. Then, what did I have? Then, anyway, so many different cars I had and I have. Then I had a Prius. What I have now, I can't tell anybody. So anyway, so whatever it is, you know, you picture all my different cars. Who cares? Who cares? Because I'm changing cars as I grow up. That's the advantage of being in a wealthy family. From boyhood to youth to old age, one changes cars. And at the time of death, the vehicle they put you in is a coffin. That's your ultimate car. Anyway. So on that happy note, we didn't get very far tonight, but I think it was interesting discussion. So we got to 97. Okay. I went to 92 to 97. 92 to 97. And so, yeah, four Taurus was one of them, but then there was something else after the Taurus. Yeah, someone just put down Ford Taurus. There was a Volkswagen somewhere, too. When I was a young brahmachari, I would travel in a little Volkswagen bug with a sannyasi. And at one point, I also had a Volkswagen Kombi, which is like, I don't think any of you know what a Kombi is. It's like a wagon, Volkswagen wagon. It's the old type wagon. And, I mean, really, if I had to make a list of all the cars I had, a Blue Station Wagon Chevy. That's right, I had a Chevy at one particular point. I had a motorcycle in India until I got scared of driving on the road with a motorcycle. I have a bicycle. I had a bicycle. So you see, we're changing vehicles. A Honda. Yeah, I forgot about the Honda. I thank you for the Honda. So I'm getting messages from my fans. So the embodied soul is continually changing cars if you have money. And who knows what my next car will be. You know, I'm just looking forward to my next car as I get older. Anyway, but the interesting thing, anyway, this just to continue with this particular metaphor, sorry about this, but the interesting thing about changing cars, they always work. And that's the difference between the car metaphor and the body metaphor. Because when you change bodies within one lifetime, it has less features. When you change cars, you get more features. It gets more electronic and more cool. But when you change bodies, it gets less cool, less nice, and uglier. It has a worse paint job on it as you change bodies. So there is some difference. It's not a metaphor where all the points are exactly the same. So on that happy note, I promised Mr. Pran Govinda that he could ask a question because he's had his hand up. He strained his hand by putting his hand up for like 45 minutes, so we're feeling sorry for him. So, Pran Govinda, you have a question?
Please accept my humble obeisances, Maharaj.
Okay, so what's up?
Well, when you are expressing that those who left ISKCON, they got cut off from the big branch of desire tree or Chaitanya tree or Prabhupada's tree.
No, from Prabhupada's branch. Yeah, from Prabhupada's branch.
Okay, Prabhupada's branch. But I always remember, because I was traveling with Tamal Krishna Maharaj in 89 in Europe, with Bhakti Charu Maharaj and Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And one time he was expressing a story of Chaita Guru Prabhu who left ISKCON, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj wanted to tell Prabhupada to get the letter to send to all the life members that he's not a part of ISKCON. We have no connection. Right. But Prabhupada could not do it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, later on he came and Prabhupada gave him sannyas. And similar incident also, one in Calcutta. One of your god brother left for some intoxication. Yeah. Anyway, Prabhupada said, tell him I will reject him if he doesn't come back. But then Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked Prabhupada, will you really reject? Prabhupada said, no, I can never do that. I'll never do that.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, I mean, I'm not making an argument on that basis. I'm talking about the preaching potency.
I see.
They may continue with their Krishna consciousness, but that special potency, I wasn't saying that they would just like fall down. That wasn't my point. And I wouldn't want to offend Vaishnavas. But they lose their special Prabhupada potency.
Mm-hmm.
Because, sure, they can continue chanting Hare Krishna, they can continue following everything like that. And Prabhupada doesn't reject them. But they are... See, connection with Prabhupada is a two-way street. I can say this from my own interactions with disciples. I don't reject disciples, unless they actually become offensive to Prabhupada. You know, Prabhupada only seriously rejected one or two people. You know, in Los Angeles, they approached him and they asked Prabhupada for instructions, and Prabhupada said, they said to Prabhupada, you're my spiritual master, and Prabhupada said, you have no spiritual master. I mean, there's a whole interaction like that, because they were very offensive. So Prabhupada wouldn't reject them, but at the same time, the connection is a two-way street. You can say, you know, Prabhupada doesn't reject them, and they can always come back, which is absolutely true. They can always come back. However, they are not accepting Prabhupada.
Hmm.
You know, it's like, let's use the example of a wife who doesn't reject the husband, just waits like thousands of years for the husband to come back. And he comes back, and she accepts him. But while he's away, he's not with the wife. So Prabhupada will only... No, Prabhupada... I never indicated that Prabhupada rejected people other than that one or two instances that I cited. But if people reject that a connection with Prabhupada, then you see that their mission gradually loses steam. And you've seen this when people... What I was specifically referring to is that people break away from Prabhupada's mission and form their own mission. That's what I was referring to. That there, okay, in my house here, I have a pressure cooker. You know what a pressure cooker is?
Yes.
I know how to cook. I know you don't know how to cook. Before you take sannyas, that's going to be one of the things you're going to get trained up in. Cooking lessons. So, I have a steam cooker. I mean, a pressure cooker. So, when it heats up a lot, the pressure gets really high, right? And then, at a certain point, I can just turn the valve and the steam gets out and the pressure goes down. So while the valve is closed, it's under high pressure and it cooks really fast. You can cook a very hard garbanzo bean chickpea. You know what chickpea is, of course.
Yeah,
you're from India. So you have these chickpeas that are very hard. You could soak them for 3 days and they're still hard. But you can cook one under pressure in less than a half an hour and it's soft as butter.
Wow.
Amazing. It's amazing. This is part of your training. Sannyas training. Cooking.
Thank you.
When I come to Gainesville for Prabhupada's 50th anniversary, which I have to because I was there, I'm going to cook for myself because I don't eat the cooking of anyone else but me.
Can I help you there?
I'll teach you. We'll have cooking lessons for you. And you'll get trained up. And then I'll sign a letter to Paladananda Maharaj that you're qualified to take sannyas at that point. So anyway, so when there's no pressure in the pressure pot, the things take a long time to cook. Like if you took a raw chickpea and tried to cook it till it got soft, just boiling, it would take hours. But in a pressure pot, it's half an hour or less. Because of connected. So I'm making the metaphor that when one is connected with Prabhupada and getting the full potency from Prabhupada, then one can do miracles. All right, let's use the example of many of Prabhupada's godbrothers. They're all devotees, nice devotees, bona fide, many bona fide gurus, not criticizing anyone. But who got the full pressure to the full potency?
Prabhupada.
Why? You answer.
He carried the mission of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
Because he took the order, the mission, as his very life and soul.
Yes.
And that mission was given to many of his godbrothers too, which was to preach in the West, in English. He wasn't the only one to have been given that. And they're all nice devotees, but Prabhupada got that Shakti. I mean, Prabhupada's a pure devotee, descending from the spiritual world. I understand that. You know, everything's connected. But he got that Shakti, the ability to do that, because of his obedience to the order. And you know his favorite verse, Vyavasayatmagvad Buddhir Ekeha Kurunandana, which Vishwanath Chakrabarti had a verse, you know, that Yasha Prasada Bhagavad. Anyway, I think you understand that. Prabhupada would quote from that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Vyavasayatmagvad Buddhir Ekeha Kurunandana, and quote from Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur and relate it to one's dedication to the mission of the spiritual master. And that was Prabhupada's realization that he gave us. He transmitted to us. And so, you know, so one actually loses the steam, like in my pressure cooker, because now I'm using a pressure cooker. It's nice. It's actually easier to cook in a pressure cooker. You know why? Because you just throw everything in and you turn it on and you go away and you chant Hare Krishna. No muss, no fuss, no nothing. You don't have to worry about fire, anything like that. And it's prasadam. I mean, you have to offer it to Krishna, obviously. The cooker, pressure cooker doesn't offer the food to Krishna. That you have to do. That you have to do. So it's like that. You're connected to Prabhupada. No muss, no fuss. Boom. You have the Krishna Shakti. You know, like, sorry, to use a gun analogy. You got the powerhouse behind you. I mean, it's like,
thank you.
Otherwise, it's like, you know, let's say you have a little generator, a hand generator, and you're generating electricity by turning it. Maybe you can light one bulb, right? You know what a generator is?
Yes. Yeah.
Light one bulb. I remember when I used to have a bicycle, it had a generator attached to it that would light the lamp in the front. But when I stopped pedaling, guess what? Can you guess? The lamp went off.
Yeah. That's,
so I just had to keep pedaling all the time. And it was all right. I liked it. Because that way it got me to exercise. So, but if I connected the light somehow or other to the powerhouse, it would stay on all the time. So we could just keep pedaling, 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 or we can be connected to Prabhupada. And then we could be empowered by Prabhupada to do miracles, like Prabhupada empowered the devotees to produce 17 books. I always recite that, 17 books in 2 months. Or Prabhupada empowered the devotees to go to London. You know, you had new devotees, basically, who weren't even fully following the regulated principles. I mean, you had Chaimashunda, for example, who when he was in San Francisco, at least, when he was carving Lord Jagannath, he was smoking cigarettes. And so Prabhupada, because they are their love to for Prabhupada, their connection with Prabhupada, then Prabhupada imbued them with that Shakti, so they were able to do miracles. They went to London, just householders, no sannyasis, no puffed up sannyasis like me. You know, just enjoying life in opulence like me. So no, it wasn't. They were simple, humble devotees, householders, you know, wife. And, you know, there was even a little child. Malati had her little daughter, Saraswati. And what they did was miraculous. They started a whole movement in the UK. Got the Beatles involved in Krishna consciousness. And from there, they went to India. And they went to India in an old plane that had to stop like 5 times on the way there. And there weren't even seats in the plane, basically. There was no bathroom. It was probably just a pot that they went to the bathroom in. And so, an old freight plane. And they arrived in India, and they did miracles in India, right?
Yes.
Yeah, actually, one devotee just said to me that the control part of the plane, the rudder of the plane, that means which direction the plane's going, there was a rope that went through the cabin. Can you imagine, like, being in a plane and the rope is going back and forth? You know, the rope breaks, you die, you know. You know, or... Anyway, so basically, I mean, and these are just kids, little kids, you know, all of them were just like 20 years old, 21. So this is what happens when one gets connected with Prabhupada. That a lame man can walk, a dog can swim an ocean, or a blind man can see. So there's a very special mercy. Sure, other people may continue chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada will never reject anyone. But if one accepts Prabhupada, a relationship is two-way. Like one time a devotee, after taking initiation from Prabhupada, left. And Prabhupada said, I accepted him, but he didn't accept me. You understand? So to be connected with Prabhupada is not simply Prabhupada saying, I accept you, but you're feeling you accept Prabhupada, and you're just dedicated. Your whole life is focused on Prabhupada's mission. Hope I'm not too heavy about this. Anyway, oh my God. People are going to
No, Maharaj. I appreciate your glorification of Srila Prabhupada. It is very endearing, very enchanting to my heart. I appreciate that. It's very attractive.
That's nice. So you have to learn how to cook. As Prabhupada said, it's kitchen religion. He didn't say this is eating religion. He didn't say Krishna consciousness is eating religion. He said it's kitchen religion. You understand? It means cook.
Yes,
like if Prabhupada went to New York and he didn't know how to cook, what would have happened? Nothing. Nothing. You know, Prabhupada would have spoken some philosophy and they said, oh, nice. And then they all would have gone to the donut shop or the KFC or whatever. And, you know, he gave them a higher taste in the hearing, a higher taste in the speaking, a higher taste in the eating, a higher taste in the dancing. You know, Prabhupada's presentation was holistic. Every aspect of their lives was filled with Krishna consciousness. Relationships, eating, seeing, dancing, you know, deities. Actually, the first deities, it was a picture of the Panchatattva dancing in New York. And when I joined the movement, our first deity was a Panchatattva, dancing Panchatattva. And it was so attractive. And that's what we're going to do in all of our preaching centers here. We're going to have dancing Panchatattva deities. A picture, giant picture of Panchatattva dancing in kirtan. Because that's what Prabhupada presented to them. Not a bunch of rituals. And then, anyway, so talking about prasadam, you have to learn how to cook. Because if you go somewhere to preach, you'll preach to them, you're not the body, you're not the body. And they'll say, I'm hungry. And you'll just say, you're not the body. You'll just tell them that your hunger is just an illusion. Maya. Vacho vegam, manasa, krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara, pascha vegam. And they'll say, Prangovinda Swami. Whatever. I'm hungry. And you'll say, I don't know. I don't know what to do. You know, just... So there. Okay. Okay, on that happy note, I know I was a little humorous tonight, a little heavy humorous, whatever. So we'll see everybody tomorrow evening. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.